Just you leave a pair of swords for the two of us, a pair of spears and a pair of oxide bucklers right at hand, so we can break for the weapons. Seize them. Then Athena, Zeus in his wisdom, they will daze the suitors' wits. Now, one last thing, bear it in mind. You must. If you are my own true son, born of my blood, let no one hear that Odysseus has come home. Don't let Laertes know. Not Eumaeus either, none in the household, not Penelope herself. You and I alone will assess the women's mood, and we might test a few of the serving men as well. Where are the ones who still respect us both, who hold us in awe, and who shirk their duties, slighting you because you are so young? Soon enough, father, his gallant son replied, you'll sense the courage inside me, that I know. I'm hardly a flighty, weak-willed boy these days. But I think your last plan would gain us nothing. Reconsider, I urge you. You'll waste time roaming around our holdings, probing the field hands man by man, while the suitors sit at ease in our house, devouring all our goods. Those brazen rascals never spare a scrap. But I do advise you to sound the women out, who are disloyal to you, who are guiltless. The men, I say no to testing them farm by farm. That's work for later, if you have really seen a sign from Zeus whose shield is storm and thunder. Now, as father and son conspired, shaping plans, the ship that brought the prince and shipmates back from Pylos was just approaching Ithaca, home port. As soon as they put into the harbor's deep bay, they hauled the black vessel up onto dry land, and eager deckhands bore away their gear and rushed the priceless gifts to Clytius's house. But they sent a herald on to Odysseus's halls at once to give the news to a thoughtful, cautious Penelope that Telemachus was home. Just up country now, but he'd told his mates to sail across to port, so the noble queen would not be seized with fright and break down in tears. And now those two men met, herald and swineherd, both out on the same errand to give the queen the news. But once they reached the house of the royal king, the herald strode up into the serving women's midst and burst out, "Your beloved son, my queen, is home at last." Eumaeus, though, bending close to Penelope, whispered every word that her dear son entrusted him to say. Message told in full, he left the halls and precincts, heading for his pigs. But the news shook the suitors, dashed their spirits. Out of the halls they crowded, past the high-walled court, and there before the gates they sat in council. Polybus's son Eurymachus opened up among them. "Friends, what a fine piece of work he has carried off! Telemachus, what insolence, and we thought his little jaunt would come to grief. Up now, launch a black ship the best we can, muster a crew of oarsmen, row the news to our friends in ambush fast, bring them back at once." And just then, he'd not quite finished when Amphinomus, wheeling round in his seat, saw their vessel moored in the deep harbour, their comrades striking sail and hoisting oars. He broke into heady laughter, called his friends, "No need for a message now, they're home, look there! Some god gave them the news, or they saw the prince's ship go sailing past and fail to overtake her."